Right. Here we are back. Why don't we go ahead and open with a word of prayer and then we'll get started. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this time that we have as a church body. Thank you for the just the word, just the fact that we can come each week and study and grow and learn. I just pray today that we can learn more, to change our thinking that aligns with your scripture. And we just pray that we can show the grace to people as Jesus Christ did to us. We thank you for all these things and we ask them in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are back to looking at our subject of judging. And we kind of talked about a few different areas. One of those areas was the good side of judging, which is what the judge does in court, and the legal side of things. And then we kind of looked at the sinful side of things and how, it's definitely a difference between the two. One is obviously not a sin and one is, and we can see that in both cases. You know, this particular verse here, let me read it. It says, "There is one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy, but who are you who judge your neighbor?" In other words, we're not qualified to do the type of sinful judging that we may at times assume that we are, right? Or that we take upon ourselves to apply to other people. And that's essentially, I think, what we're doing. And when we judge people, not only are we making assumptions that may or may not be true, we're taking those assumptions and going a step further and applying some type of consequences to a person by our actions towards them or our behavior or what we say to them. So you see that the circle of judging goes full circle. It not only It all starts with the selection, though, right? It starts with the selection about which way you decide and which way you choose to go. Always two different paths. But I just wanted to point out that this judging, you can really understand why it's sinful. Why it's sinful. Because we're taking the judging into our own hands that really is, we're not qualified to do, number one. We don't know all the facts, number two. And to show or exhibit consequences and to place those on other people is to completely be removed from our position in Christ, right? It's not our position to, at least in this manner, to discipline people from the ugly part of our sin natures. That's not the idea behind what God's idea of judgment is about. He knows all the facts. He understands where a person came from. And I think the part that gets dropped off is he also has the grace to be able to accept even the people that have betrayed, have gone astray, and don't fit in the Christian mold that we sometimes expect them and try to jam people in, or in the Grace Bible Church mold that sometimes we expect and we assume that people will fit in here. Because, you know, this is a certain environment. There's certain people. I'm not saying everybody's the same. Everybody's robots. But what I'm saying is we kind of get caught up in these little walls here. And there's a lot of people that I think desire the truth and that are maybe a lot different from the way you or I think, right? And so the unifying factor is always God's Word. God's Word is what brings us back to the unifying factor of one mission, one goal, one desire to glorify God and to walk in the filling of the Holy Spirit. And if we all keep that in mind, judging becomes much less of an issue. I don't think you can ever, you know, completely get rid of judging because of the human nature. But I do think that we can learn and understand the grace of God towards us so we can exhibit and show that to other people in a way that's, more abundant in your life. And so that's always a good thing. And you know, there's times when we do judge, and the only way we realize that we judge is we start to feel the guilt of that judgment, right? We start to kind of recognize that maybe we didn't act the way we should have acted. Maybe we didn't say what we should have said. Maybe, you know, all these things come into mind. So it's really the guilt of the sin that comes out, and not necessarily the judging itself. Because remember, like I said, the repercussions of that judgment are like fire, right? It may start with you and the person, but as soon as you mention one comment, one observation, one critical remark to another person, guess what? You've just spread it to at least that sin to now someone else is out of fellowship. And now someone else is judging that person for something that they are even not even culpable of, right? So anyways, I mentioned last time it's a very convoluted sin. And don't feel singled out about this sin either, because every person is guilty of it. Every person. I don't care where you are in life, what you've done, where you've been, where you came from. There's so many different types of people in this world that we're all capable of falling into a position of judging, being critical. Looking at them and saying, well, they're not like me, or they're not like this, or they don't fit that, or they're not this way, they're not that way, right? They don't look a certain way. They're in a location, in a physical location that they shouldn't be. So all of a sudden, what happens? We start to make selections. We start to draw conclusions that may or may not be true. That's not even the issue. Maybe you're right about your conclusions, but you see what's happening is you're taking those conclusions and you're taking action on those conclusions. You're taking action because now your thinking is changed towards the object of your judgment. And you view them as differently as we should be viewing them, at least as unto the Lord, with a grace and open attitude. So, you know, big difference there, but definitely don't feel singled out, because we all go through this, and we've all experienced both sides of judging. So you can definitely understand that why judging is sinful, because I'm not talking about making observations and stopping there. We're talking about going farther with those observations. There's nothing wrong. Obviously, you're human. You're going to see. You're going to observe what people look like, what they do, what they say. You're going to hear that. But it's what do you do with the facts, or with that what you've been given from that person. Now, I still say it always goes back to that selection. It goes really, again, to drawing conclusions on those observations, right? And I'm not telling you to not have any discernment. We all need to make certain selections and be discerning towards a person, at least to protect yourself and your own safety. I'm not talking about that type of judging in a common sense way. We're talking about a judgment that is in a negative, critical way, and is to the disadvantage of a person that is unsuspecting and unknowing about what is taking place. And especially when it's in a church, to feel that is to feel what? Excluded. And that's the very last thing that we want in a church, right? So, and what that does is, you know, people notice, I mentioned that people notice those things. Many times we think, oh, I'll just act this way and get away with it. Well, people aren't stupid, right? People aren't stupid. They have intuition. They have that gut feeling. They have the discernment to be able to recognize that your attitude is changed in a way where it's more condescending. And you know, that comes out in a lot of different ways. It comes out in maybe not paying attention to someone as you were before, maybe ignoring them completely, maybe excluding them in a certain way, or maybe talking down to them in a way that is, and I think it's always the sin nature. Remember, the sin nature isn't trying to build people up. It tries to tear people down. And that's the idea. The sin nature isn't looking to include you. It's not looking to say, come in with us, be a part of us. You know, it's not looking to say, we need to grow, we need to get you to know Christ. It's looking to push out. And that's the entire point that I'm trying to make, is that judging is never done from a position of goodness. It's never done, because it's always being done from a position of being out of fellowship, in weakness, in the flesh, in a position that we are looking to destroy. That's what the sin nature looks to do. Anyways, it just shows, especially when someone senses the judge, that they've been judged or that they're being treated differently, it just goes to show you how far off base we really are when we do judge in that way. You know, that never should have propagated over to that point to where they sense something. So, that's kind of why I wanted to show you the legal side of the judging, because we have no business taking the reins on God's judgment and judging ourselves, because it's off basis, right? We have no business doing it. Which leads us back to another meaning of the Greek word judge here. The second meaning is to pass judgment upon and thereby seek to influence the lives and actions of other people. No doubt. This is exactly... Oh, you say, well, no. That's not what my intent was. That's what the sin nature's intent is. It's looking to influence another person, and it's seeking to influence them in a negative way. And this says the lives and the actions of other people, right? And what happens is most of the time they leave. They don't come back. They don't want to be around that or expose themselves to that type of... I mean, what's the point? I mean, why would you want to keep exposing yourself to something that makes you feel less than someone else? I sure wouldn't want to be around it, right? So you just don't go. And that is the influence that I think one of the influences that this is talking about. And not to mention, it also allows the person that doesn't have the spiritual growth, that maybe someone is that's judging them, to look inside the church and say, isn't that hypocritical? Isn't that hypocritical of a growing believer who is supposedly growing in biblical Christianity, yet they're judging me as far as, I don't know what basis they have to do that, because I don't think that's in the Bible. And they're right. They're absolutely right. So, you know, when we do that, we need to think about not, it's not something that is that we're called to do by any means. Actually, it brings upon us discipline, which is just the opposite, as we'll see in a minute. So this is what happens when you kind of, and you know, there's always an underlying sin involved with judging. That's why I say judging is not alone, right? When you gossip, you've brought in other people into the mix. And think about what this sin that really is driving this. Arrogance, self-righteousness is what's driving the whole thing. So there's already 2-3 sins that are just poop popped out right out of a selection that you made from an observation that you took, and you took it the wrong direction. Multiple sins start to come out of this. So we've got self-righteousness, arrogance, and what that does is it condemns people. It condemns them. It looks down. It excludes them. And it doesn't include, right? There's no grace in self-righteousness. Self-righteousness excludes grace completely, is what it does. I think you can see a good picture of that in the Pharisees. You know, that's a great picture, because it was either do it their way or the highway. And they were doing it wrong. So they didn't have it right, and what blinded them to that fact was self-righteousness. You can't be open, you can't be receiving, you can't be any of those things when you're self-righteous about your and you're out of fellowship with God. That's not a good place to be. So anyways, that just isn't directed toward you or the person either, right? That can include multiple people involved in this. Now, I think this really goes back to some of this, at least. I mentioned one of the sins that can come out of this is gossip. Gossip, when you kind of recruit other people on your team to maybe view this person in a less than or a substandard way. Well, you say, whose standard is that? Well, it's your standard, right? It's whatever standard that we see as the standard, and that's that self-righteous part of this. Remember, self-righteous, all that means is self is right. You think your judgment is right, and it doesn't matter if it's sinful or not. Whatever you're thinking is right. And so when we're judging and we gossip about it, we think that what we observe and how we see those people is right, even though it's sinful. So we tell someone else about it, and now what are they doing? The same exact thing. The same exact thing. So you've got other people on board. So I wanted to just mention this, James 3, and I just wanted to read this section because this talks about the power of the tongue. The power of the tongue. You may not realize it, that the tongue can cause a lot of damage and destruction. This is James 3, and I'll start with verse 4. It says, look at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Now, you can hear, obviously, this is talking about the negative side of the tongue, right? But it just shows what we're capable of. Even a believer in Jesus Christ, this is what we're capable of spreading, right? We've all spread rumors. We've all believed something that may not have been true and talked about it and exacerbated the problem. And that's what this is talking about, right? The rudder on a ship is actually tiny. I don't know if you've ever seen a rudder on a ship, but it's very, very small. You think, well, man, how can that drive the whole ship? But it does. It drives that entire ship, especially when you see one of those big cargo merchant ships with that tiny little bitty rudder sticking off the back. How does that thing drive the ship? Well, it does. And it's the same exact way with the person steering events and actions and influencing situations in life, right? It's the same. It refers to the pilot or the person driving the ship. Well, the tongue can actually drive things in the same way, in a negative, in a destructing way. So the tongue can be used definitely for evil purposes. We can see there. And when judging, I guess you could say when internal judging becomes verbal, external, guess what? That's when the fire started. That's when the driving, really the shift change in the course that the pilot, which is you, have made. When we make what we think from a self-righteous attitude known to someone else, that's the moment that the steering occurs. And I can assure you that you don't want to be the one that starts that fire, because God's word is very clear about we don't just get off scot-free and can just click our feet and move our heels and run down the street and after we throw the cigarette out the window and the entire forest burns, right? He's going to find you. He knows you did it and he's going to get you. So, And another reason why this is obviously wrong and sinful, as I mentioned earlier, we don't have all the facts. And it's not our job to execute justice, at least in this way. You can't do it. It's actually completely out of our realm, out of our purpose to be glorifying and a faithful Christian in God. And so you have to be in a position that is one step removed from taking action on someone when we judge. You may not see judging someone as taking action on them, but if they notice you're judging them, you have taken action against them and to influence them in a negative way. That's the part that we are taking justice, in a sense, in our own hands. We are seeking to influence, literally, their life in a negative way. Not, you know, I mean, we're not called to do that. We're not. So, what if they're interested in Jesus? I mean, how does that affect what you did, what you said, and how you were acting towards them to exclude or at least make someone feel excluded to something that should have made them feel completely included? It should have been the complete opposite. And I would say when people view the Christian church as hypocritical, they are rightfully doing so, because there's many times and many churches, instances that we all have been a part of where this type of thing is taking place. And it's a sad thing to see, because it's just the opposite of what the Bible is telling us to actually do, right? So this all paints, it really paints a bad picture on Christianity. You know, I realize that you can't have everyone go in the right direction and be on the same page. We all have a sin nature. We're all going to fail. But it's just these certain bad apples that paint a bad picture on Christianity, when that is not the what Christianity is about. Just because they're not following what the Word of God teaches and says about being in Christ and thinking with His mind ends up resulting in turning someone completely off of the faith. It happens, right? So let's look at a few principles in the Bible about judging others. I think a good place to look first is in Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Remember, this is where Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount to His disciples. And He's teaching His disciples about living righteously in the kingdom. And I definitely think there's a lot of application for Christians today in this, because judging is a universal problem. Whether it's before the church age or after the church age, judging is a sin. And He talks about it right here, and I think it's very clear, easy to understand about what He's saying. And the first obvious thing is what? Did I already give you this? No. Matthew 7:1, below here is just the meanings of judge. But here's Matthew 7:1. First, right off the bat, command. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. That's how it starts out. Very clear, very easy to understand. You look at this, you say, okay, I got it. Right? I got it. So, and here's our same word, by the way, krino, for judge. So it says, do not krino. That's the command here. And up to this point, I've given you a few meanings of the word judge. You see, I added a third one here at the bottom. Let's get malware bites out of the lesson. It says to pass an unfavorable judgment upon, to criticize, or to condemn. So you can see now we're getting more in the negative aspect and the destructive part of judging, really. Yeah, it starts with making a selection, and it goes into making the wrong selection, and look, it goes into influencing people based on how you view them and how you think about them and how you treat them. And it moves into passing an unfavorable judgment. Actually, this has already taken place. And then to criticize and condemn them. See, this kind of goes with the other two meanings. They all kind of go together, right? They're happening, a lot of them, simultaneously, if you really think about what's happening here. And this is really bringing out the negative aspect, like I said. So you may not have considered it, but to criticize someone is to judge them, to judge them. We're very critical people. And I understand there can be a good criticism. There can be, right? We all like to be constructively criticized. That's a good thing. I mean, if you're given constructive criticism, that type of criticism wants to help you. It's showing you things that where you may need work, where you're wrong, and you may need to fix it. You know, those are good, right? The boss gives those. Friends give those. Your brothers and sisters in Christ give those to show and assist and help you maybe see something that you can make better, right? That's not what this is talking about. The type of criticism I'm talking about is the kind that has to do with judging. And when we are critical about someone, the first thing that we do is find fault with them. That's the type of criticalness that I'm talking about. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. Notice the constructive criticism is always seeking to help, seeking to build up, seeking to see them in a better place because you're trying to show them and help them so they can learn from the problem. Not the sinful criticism, not that kind. It's noticing, its little radar comes on, and it's looking for something wrong. It's not looking to show them and help them and assist them in finding a better solution. It just seeing something wrong, it turns that switch and condemn. The condemn switch is on. So there's a, you know, two separate things. One seeks to help, one seeks to tear down again. There goes the sin nature off doing his, you know, destructive little process that he likes to do. So we seek to find fault with them in some area. It doesn't matter where. Doesn't matter where. It can be something to do with the person. It doesn't matter what it is. Self-righteousness, if it sees it as something wrong, it will classify it as something wrong, and it will make decisions based on that wrong that it sees. Notice how subjective that is. Where's God in that process? He's excluded. We're talking about self now. These are the conclusions that we came up with, even though they're absolutely off base. We shouldn't even be, we don't have the authority to make those decisions. We don't see the heart. And that's what the point about God is the only judge, right? Because there's so many facts that we don't have. Maybe you have part of them. Maybe you have some of them. But at the same time, you always keep in mind that you're being called to a much higher purpose than judging others. And criticism is part of that. So, and I think help is a good way to see, you know, someone that is coming in to learn the Word of God. Don't you desire to see that process move forward? Of course you do. Of course you do. You desire to see them grow in the Christian life. And I think helping them and encouraging them and, again, showing them the grace. You know, grace doesn't exclude. It doesn't look down. It doesn't make people feel less than you. And it doesn't castigate people in a way that they don't know what happened. They can't explain it. They just know that they didn't feel welcome. That's not grace, right? Grace doesn't have any of those things a part of it. It seeks to help. So we can all say, you know, that when we look at this list, you say, you know, this is all bad stuff that we don't want to do. I mean, you really don't. I mean, we can honestly say in fellowship as Christians, we don't want to do this. But what I'm telling you is when you get critical, you can easily slip off into this area that you're making critical decisions that are not necessarily in the area where you should be. You're out of your bounds, in other words. You're in the area that you have no business being, and that's where it really gets sinful, right? Isn't there a standard here that we're looking to? God has a standard, you have a standard. Which one are we judging from, right? And I would even call it, I wouldn't even call it judging on the Godward side, I would call it discernment. Right? There is a good way to make decisions about someone that is biblical. It's called discernment. And what you, how you make those selections is a lot different than, and I would call that a good type of, you know, be smart, right? Be smart. And you can only do that, I think, with the Word of God. So this criticism, because it's not favorable, it's not helpful, you can see that the motivation is coming from the sin nature, just because of that reason. Because it seeks to tear down, it seeks to not help them out, but seeks to actually hurt them. And we can all say that we've seen there, and we've seen this, and we can all say we've been on the receiving end of this. We've all been there, and we've all been on both ends of this, because we're human beings. So, anyways, I wanted to see if you could look at the purpose of this verse here. It says, there's a so that's a conjunction at the top, and this particular conjunction usually gives either the purpose of something or the result. And this is clearly saying, do not judge for the purpose that you will, or the result that you will not be judged. There's a direct correlation there. If you judge, you will be judged, right? And that's why it's telling us do not do it, and it tells you what happens if you don't do it. You will not be judged. And by the way, this is a divine judgment. This is from God, not just another person. Well, actually, we'll see that it is from another person a little bit later. But God is the one who is allowing the judgment to happen, right? We may cause our own problems and get ourselves in our own little, you know, mess. But God can also allow those things to happen to us. And it's not because of He's causing you problems, it's because you've caused your own problems. So we'll see that here in a minute. So you see there's definitely negative impact to both parties, all parties involved, right? To the innocent party and to the guilty party. And I don't mean God's judgment, I mean your effects on them. And then God's effect on the judger, right? I guess you could say there's a judgee and a judger. So, you know, when we get into this area, we can't see the fact that we have sort of a lofty kind of attitude or view towards someone else. You can't see it. Self-righteousness is blinded to any faults in self, and it's quick to view and gravitate to the faults of other people, and it can't reverse those roles because it's self-righteous. It's selfly right. You're right. And you can't convince yourself of any other thing, right? At least when you're out of fellowship. That's what self-righteousness is. So, and make no mistake, the judgment that comes to us is just that. It's the standard that we have set and placed that burden on someone else, that's what we'll receive in return. And we have scripture that talks about this. The exact same thing that you dealt out, you're going to receive back. You know, so it's like, well, don't be surprised when you're on the receiving end of the judging right after you've just given a good dose of it and kind of pushed someone out because you didn't have enough grace to show them the compassion, the mercy that they needed in a time of need. And so we will almost need to expect that in our lives, because this clearly says, do not judge so that you will not be judged. There's a condition there as well. There's a condition, right? So, and I think this is really going back to a topic that Jesus speaks of back in verse 12. He explains it in more detail or in Luke 6:31, and I want to look at it there, because I wanted to show you this has to do with how you treat other people. Really, it kind of all goes together, doesn't it? Look at Luke 6:31. Now we're froze up. All right. That's why I got paper. Luke 6:31. It says this: treat others the same way you want them to treat you. Well, look at there. Well, that sounds so simple, doesn't it? It just makes so much sense. It's so clear. We can all understand. Yes, I know that, right? I'm going to do that. Well, we don't always do that. But that's the reality here. This is what Jesus is saying. And you know what? We agree to that. Treat others the way you want to be treated. How many times have you heard that? A lot. It's a simple yet profound truth. And that is very, very logical. At least to sane human beings. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Do you want to be judged in the way you were judging them? Of course not. But you will, as we'll see in a little bit later in the verse. But it just points out that the sin nature is very deceiving. Even though there, we can clearly see, I want to be treated not like the way I treated them, we can still easily deceive ourselves into being critical, into judging someone, and we will be treated in the same way because of those bad decisions. So nobody wants to be shunned. Nobody wants to be ignored. Nobody wants to be excluded. And I'm assuming you don't either. I'm assuming that, right? We don't. I don't. You don't. You're human. That's what I'm saying. We're all human here. And what's interesting about this is even though we don't want to be all these things, when we judge them, we are basically raising our hand and saying, I want them coming back at me. Because that's what happens according to Scripture. But we don't want that, right? We don't want to experience the other side of judgment, but that's what we're saying when we judge. We're saying, go ahead, give me some judgment by somebody else. Because that's the part of the divine discipline that's coming our way. Fortunately, God knows how to fit the punishment to the crime perfectly. And, you know, this is one area of your life that we really need to apply many times because we tend to take the justice of God into our own hands and condemn and judge and make assumptions and ignore. But, you know, that's taking the justice out of God's hands and putting it in our hands. That's why that verse said there's only one judge. There's only one judge. He's the one who has to take all those facts. He didn't ask you to exclude anyone because they deserve to be excluded. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. But just the fact that we have stepped over that bounds of taking the reins into our own hands is the dangerous area, a dangerous area to be in. There's so many, and we've talked about this, but there's so many churches that have got into an area of that, you know, the morality equals spirituality. And this is a problem because once they've gotten the morality side down pat, in other words, I know what to say, I know what to do, I know how to look. Once you check all the boxes, you've got the good church member down. You see what this is doing? You're creating a standard and some level that you look at others as less than that standard. So what religion has created is a sort of a moral, lofty and a haughty attitude that looks down on people that don't fit into whatever moral system that looks like to you. Well, is that accurate? That's what I want to know. If it's not based on the Word of God, it's not accurate, right? Because when we judge, we exclude, and that is a sin. When we judge, we destroy, we are destructive to whatever person or people that are affected by that. So we don't want to get into a position where we create some image in our mind of what a good church person is, a good church goer, a good Christian is, when it's detached from the Word of God. Because what we think isn't always accurate. And if we think something, we need to make sure that it aligns with the Scripture, or else you're going to start to look at other people and you're going to start to fruit inspect. You're going to start to say, well, they didn't do this and they didn't do that. And you see where the critical, judgmental attitude comes in within a church, within the church members, within a church body that are very critical of other people because they're not rising to the level of what they think is moral and being a good church person, right? Or church member. Very subtle. Very subtle. I'm not saying, I'm not calling anybody out, but I'm just saying that is something that happens. It's something that happens. So I just wanted to point that out. The Pharisees were very good at this. Anyways, you've got to take the high road. That's kind of the moral of this story. We've got to be able to take the high road when it comes to not only people in general, but your interaction with those people. We've got to begin to take the high road because you know what? I always say this, but you're called for a much higher purpose than the details that we see in the physical realm, right? We're called to spiritual purposes that God has called us to be. And that's a huge responsibility. But part of that goes right back to showing the grace necessary where we're not excluding people. And let me keep going with this. Oh, I don't have it up here. You let me work on that thing for about 2 seconds. I probably have it going, but that's okay. Luke 6:32. If you love those who love you, now follow the logic in this. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Verse 33, if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount, right? You get what's happening here? When you operate from some system of the flesh or man-made system of morality, you think from a worldly point of view. That's what that was describing. The sinner is describing the worldly thinking process. The unbeliever is no different from the thinking that was taking place and the examples that were given in that verse. And it's saying, basically saying that sinners think in the same way. In other words, those out of touch with God's plan for their life are thinking in the way that some believers think. Are you loving just because they love you back? Are you giving just because you get back something? That's the idea. That's how the world thinks. That's not what Christians are called or how they're called to think. So, grace solves the problem. Grace fixes every one of those examples that you just heard, including the one that says, talks about love, talks about doing good, and talks about lending. It's not based on someone else. It's not based on what they look like. It's not based on what their background is. It's not based on what church they go to or what they do or maybe even what they say, right? Well, I'm talking about a church setting. We have to quit setting some human standard of people when they come in and getting them to live up to those standards or condemning them for not or not looking a certain way or feeling a certain way or thinking a certain way. Get the idea? And hey, don't get me wrong. This is an area we all need work in. I mean, we do. We all need work in this area, right? We all grew up in a certain way, in a certain place, around certain parents who had certain beliefs, certain feelings. Everything is coming together. But again, unifying factor, the Word of God. You're a Christian. You're called to a higher purpose than segregating and separating and excluding. I mean, in Christ. The goal is to get everybody in Christ, right? So, and then finally, verse 35. Oh, look, it woke up. Verse 35. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. And do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. So you can hear all the grace, all the mercy, all the things that you're actually called to do, And it says, don't expect anything in return. This is a completely different attitude that people have in the world. They do something, you better darn be sure, right, you get something in return for doing that something, right? But this is just the opposite. Why? Because the priority is different. The reward is not in expecting. The reward, you could say, is expecting from God, not from people. That's a good way to look at it. So if you're going to expect, don't do it in the human realm. Do it towards God, because he promises what? He says right here, reward. That's one of the things. So with that being said, let's go ahead and stop there. And we've got a few more to go on judging, but this is, I think, a good chunk out of it. And we'll continue. But it just shows you that there's a difference between mercy and judgment, right? I'm talking about the sinful type of judgment. Mercy allows someone to be who they are and with what they have and with where they have it. And it takes all those things and it gives them grace and it shows them that they can not only grow, but they're just like any other human being that had a desire just like you did way back in the day, and you're here where you are now. So we just need to give people opportunities that they may not have outside of any other church, right? Be different. We're called to be different. So with that being said, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you for the visibility into what you've shown us. And we just pray that we can continue down the road of not being judgmental and being gracious, not being condemning, but being merciful to people who don't even deserve it, who don't expect it. And the reason we can do that is because Jesus Christ did it towards us. We thank you for all this, and we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.